This is a CBC podcast. Have you heard? Listening to CBC Radio online is now better than ever. Check out our new live streams from across the country at cbc.ca/listen.
Hello, this is the North by Northwest podcast for Saturday, the 2nd of October. And on the podcast today, some of the poets taking part in random acts of poetry. Visual artist Fiona Bowie, who put a camera into False Creek on the bottom of a ferry. Kathy Jefferson, who is a potter living in Duncan and one of the winners of the BC Creative Achievement Awards this year. And comedian Daryl Lennox realizing a lifetime dream. Fiona Bowie is a visual artist, an installation artist who works and makes her home in Vancouver. I talked to her about two of her projects, one of them called Flow, which is mounted in a series of windows in a downtown mall in Vancouver, and which is interactive. You can play with it actually online, or it interacts with you, or it reacts to you when you're on the site. And another piece that she set up this year, commissioned by the City of Vancouver, in which it's called Surface, and she attached a camera to the bottom of one of the ferries going around False Creek. And online, you can observe what the camera sees. And I've been looking at the site for a while now, and it's really interesting because you actually see very little. Every once in a while, a fish, some bubbles, sometimes something seems to be stuck to the camera. But it's incredible to think of how empty that waterway is. And that's one of the first things I talked to Fiona about when I spoke to her recently.
Yeah, it's surprising. I mean, when I pitched this project to the jury that was overlooking the commissions for mapping and marking, of which it's a part where artists get to actually choose the site of their work as well as what the work will be, I was telling them that, you know, this is going to be a documentary, essentially a live, ongoing documentary, that it's not going to be a SeaWorld experience. And what's down there is what it is, what the piece is. So if there's long periods of time where there's no life, it's simply a reflection of sort of where we're at and what we're doing on the planet.
What gave you the idea to document that this particular part of our planet?
Well, you know, for probably the last 5 years preceding the commission, I was doing a lot of research on the oceans at that point. They've always held an interest for me, being curious about sea life and animal life in general. But I was doing research on the North Pacific gyre, finding out about that. It's a large garbage patch that's in the middle of the Pacific, and they found other ones worldwide. But
it's about the size of Texas, yeah, or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty devastating. So I've always been pretty passionate about the oceans, and it was just on my mind, you know. So when this project came up, I thought that, on the one hand, you know, people go past False Creek on their way to work every day, and they don't often sort of think about what's underneath. In fact, I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about what's underneath. And being one of the most industrialized bodies of water in Vancouver, I thought it would serve as a good microcosm for the ocean at large, really.
It's such an interesting portal. I mean, like you say, we rarely see underwater, and for me, often it can feel really threatening to be on the surface and not know what's underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so interesting to have that little window into what's down there.
Yeah, well, you know, that whole idea of sort of, you know, getting a window into another perspective is really kind of what we thrive at doing as artists, you know, no matter what the concept is. And so that's essentially why I called it Surface, was that, you know, I was curious about people being able to dig underneath the surface and think about something else other than their commute.
Now, with Surface, have you had feedback at all? Have you heard from people about their experiences of observing underneath False Creek?
Well, you know, I have, with people that I've talked to, they've been surprised. You know, there's been a few people who've said they were surprised at seeing so much color. Other people have been surprised by the lack of things, you know, because I guess they imagine it's going to be teeming with life like it was pre-industrial. And it's not. And often, you know, when the boat's moving through the water, it's moving quite fast. And, you know, little pieces of detritus or leaves will go by the camera. But other than that, there's not a lot of life. As it's moving through the sort of midwaters of False Creek. There's more so when it's docked and at night as well. That was the big surprise. People, it's like, oh my God, you know, because we've captured, you know, eels and sticklebacks and all kinds of little fish and sea worms and things that, I mean, I never expected to see. And the most interesting thing for me, actually, was some of the night footage. It really looked like looking into a galaxy, because there's all these tiny little, what I found out later, was zooplankton.
Oh.
All these little tiny one and
like
multi-celled animals that move. And because of the swells and the tide, it just created this beautiful sort of galaxy space. So that was, again, another huge surprise. I never expected the camera, even although they, you know, the lens is great. It goes from 1-inch focus to infinity, so it can pick up a lot. But I never expected to see those little creatures.
What led you into being an artist in the first place, Fiona?
Oh, that starts very early in life. You know, I've always been making music and, you know, started drawing from a really, really early age. And was always really curious about things. And, you know, my dad used to say I was so passionate about things that often the dinner table was, you know, a heated discussion about one thing or another. So it just, it's
don't
just,
get her going.
It's right? Kind of the way I am. It's just who I am.
That very passionate and...
Well, curious, passionate, curious, and my imagination runs wild all the time, so why fight it?
Now, that could have led to writing. It could have led to music making.
Mm-hmm.
It could have, well, I guess it's led to a lot of these places.
It does.
For you.
It does, because I am interested in writing, too. I mean, some of my work have been narrative pieces, an installation that I did at the Western Front that's been shown in other cities since was a very sort of classical narrative style, although the piece itself wasn't typically cinematic in the way that we're used to seeing it, because it was a 360-degree projection. But, yeah, I do enjoy writing. Writing is part of the flow piece as well, and I enjoy making music. I write music as well. So,
flow,
right?
It's quite a narrative piece.
It is. You know, that's a piece that I did with Sydney Fells, who's a computer scientist out at UBC, and I invited him onto the project in fairly early days when I just had a basic idea of where I wanted to go with it, and we sort of designed a project and a system that responded to not only the neighborhood in terms of the visuals, but also in terms of the content as well. And that one is, it's at the new Civic Center. It's a community center, a library, and a residential tower at Number 1 Kingsway, which is the first address on Kingsway, near Main and Broadway. And it is an ever-evolving scene. So it's projected into the ground floor windows that are a very special window that I can talk to you about in a minute. But it's a scene that evolves and changes over time. In response to things going on during the day and its immediate surroundings. But the imagery that I chose to shoot is very particular in kind of setting up or implying a narrative. I shot many individuals, hundreds of people, in various poses, so that I had many images of each person to work with.
And quite distinctive expressions, too.
Yeah, you know, the direction was kind of interesting, because I didn't direct them in any way, but the images that I ended up choosing sort of implied that they were in a state of reflection, or that they were conversing with someone. And then after I shot those images, I looked at them and thought, who here looks like they could be paired up with another person and imply a dynamic moment? And so with Sydney and Morgan Hibbert, who was one of the coders, with their help, we friended them so that some individuals would show up more often than others. So there's main characters and there's people that show up occasionally that would be sort of more like the strangers that come into the scene. So all of these people show up at some moment as pairs or even by themselves.
Projected in these windows.
Mm-hmm. They're projected in the windows. And a huge part of the concept for me was kind of a tenuous existence, or a presence that is tenuous. And I did this in several ways. First of all, the backgrounds that I shot are backgrounds primarily that are in a state of transition from one to another. They're building sites, they're fallow lands, they're landscapes whose history has been erased, yet they haven't been built into anything else yet. So they're neither here nor there. They're in a state of transition from one thing to another, but they also capture that moment of will. You know, this is what we are doing to this, and what was it? What is it going to become? So there's a sort of there's a potential there, but what is that potential? And then the individuals who show up as a layer on these backgrounds are kind of implicated in the scene. Now, when they show up in the background and also disappear, they transit very, very slowly. So the transitions are so slow that sometimes a face will be hanging over a background and barely visible, you know.
Like a ghost.
Yeah, kind of ghostly. And in fact, when we were installing, this woman who was sitting in the coffee shop across the way didn't realize there was a public art piece being installed, and she actually thought she was hallucinating.
Oh, no.
And just by pure coincidence, she phoned a friend of mine, a mutual friend, and was concerned about the fact that she was seeing something, and she wasn't really sure, you know, if she was seeing something or if she was imagining it. And in fact, it was one of these portraits just very slowly coming in.
I hope your friend was able to explain it.
She knew.
Thank goodness.
She told her, oh, don't worry about it. I know. It was a very strange coincidence. But as well as the slow transitions, another component of the work that has to do with the material that we decided to project onto was that I wanted things to disappear before the viewer. So when the viewer gets close to the work, entire portions of the image just blow out. They just go. And that is achieved through this material called switch glass that I originally came across years and years ago and thought, this is a really interesting material. Maybe one day, you know, I'll use it for a project. And it's a material that goes from opaque to clear at an electronic impulse. So that we created software that would cause the images to disappear when people got close to the glass. And so you can, if you're inside the building, you can see out to the street, and vice versa. If you're out on the street looking at the image, it creates these portals into the building. So the activity of the building and the street become meshed with the screen. So the screen's kind of broken at that moment.
That's a permanent installation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They've asked us to create a piece that would last at least 10 years. Mm-hmm. So it just recently won a bit of an accolade. So hopefully it'll go longer than 10 years.
What did it win?
Recently it was voted one of the top 40 public art pieces in North America by Americans for the Arts. And it was the only Canadian piece. So it was quite a thrill. And even more than the thrill of the award, one of the artists, there were two people, I guess, who were choosing them, and there was a curator and artist, and the artist, Fred Wilson, is an artist that I admire a lot. So I was pretty excited.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Is that important to you? We talk about public art, and you know, there's public art that we pass in the street, but then this is public art that I can actually engage with.
I didn't sort of set out to create interactive artwork in any particular way, but it just, the way the concepts unfolded, this kind of thing just seemed really logical to me, you know, because I was working with a really cinematic space in the composition of the images. So while I was shooting, I was thinking about this really wide screen. And it just seemed logical that there would be subtitles on some level, you know. I mean, it wasn't realistic for us to do it at the site because of the way the windows are. You know, some of the text would get chopped up, but it's certainly something that can happen online. And then no matter wherever you are in the world, you get bored, you go online, you play with some text.
And it sounds like that's another one of those that's an example of what you're talking about things just developing and going with the flow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how I like to work.
Fiona, what are you working on now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I went through a period this year of stopping work it was a short period of time, but it was a questioning of everything. I questioned my work. I questioned how I make work. I questioned how it lives in the world. I questioned, you know, why make work? I went through a period of not self-doubt, certainly. It was nothing about that. It was just about, you know, taking snapshot of what's going on in the world and just feeling overwhelmed, you know, and
overwhelmed
by everything that's going on, you
politically,
know?
Environmentally.
Yeah, yeah. We've gotten ourselves in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was saying before, I keep my eyes very wide open to all of it and sometimes too much. So I guess I had a little bit too much this year. You know, I read too much. I knew too much. I just became overwhelmed. So that said, I'm working on a couple of new projects now. None that I really want to talk about yet because they're in very early fleshy sort of stages. So, but they'll involve time-based pieces again and involve landscape.
Fiona, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for coming in for this chat.
Oh, thanks a lot. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for inviting me.
That's artist Fiona Bowie, and you can find links to Surface and Flow, her website that takes you on a link to Flow, on the website at cbc.ca/nxnw. Thanks for downloading the North by Northwest podcast.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.